Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. And we're going to start talking a little bit about the time frame that I refer to as the age of transition. And this is crucial to understanding the difference in how God relates to us now versus the previous age. And the previous age we can call the age of grace, age of law, and the current age, the age of grace. Now, the problem is that there's an overlap. And understanding the importance of the law and the importance of grace and how it affects our relationship with God helps us to accept unconditionally what he wants to give unconditionally. And part of the whole challenge we have is understanding sin and death and how it affects what we've inherited and how we relate to God. So when we're talking about sin, it's not just behavior. It's not sinning, it's death. It's being dead in our spirit. A sinner sins. That's all they can do. Their behaviors will never line up. There's nothing good enough that a sinner can do to change himself, to make himself a living spirit being, to restore that spirit relationship with God. And this is what the law is meant to show us, that even if we fulfilled every concept of law, both the letter and the spirit, it would not change us. It would not turn us into a living spirit. That can only be done by God himself. Now, the whole task that had to be accomplished for that to happen, in order for God to be able to re-spirit us, make us living spirits, the debt of sin had to be paid. And that debt has been accruing to every generation all the way back to Adam. It's not just our own debt, our own sinning, but everything all the way back. Every sin that has ever been committed or has yet to be committed. That's all in the negative column. That's a debt that is an actual debt that is owed to God. Now, sometimes we think that God forgave the debt. He didn't forgive the debt, because when there's a lack, that lack has to be made up for. When you owe somebody and you don't pay them back, even if they forgive you the debt, they're still out. They are still lacking what you stole from them. And God does not lack. He is a just God. There was a lack that was created by the debt of sin. Now, that sin is defined or described or made clear by law. In other words, we know, okay, don't murder somebody because there's a law that says don't murder somebody. And we can go into conscience and social, how societies and cultures are different. But bottom line is, we know what is right and wrong because we can describe what is right and wrong. We can make a list of these things are good and these things are bad. Essence, that's what law is. Being able to describe behaviors that are right and wrong. So those are areas where in those behaviors we are acting contrary to being a living spirit being. We are acting as sinners. So our sin nature, which again, we're dead in our spirit, our sin nature shows through our behaviors. Now that's true whether that person we could describe as being a saint, because they do wonderful things and they're always doing charitable acts and giving, and all their behavior may be wonderful outwardly. But our behavior does not affect our nature. It's the other way around. Regardless of how many great things that a person may do, that doesn't change nature. From sinner to saint, from dead in spirit to living in spirit. So the purpose of the law was to reveal that behavior does not determine nature. And throughout time, that debt only grew. Because no one could measure up, because no natures could be changed until God sent himself, his son, to pay the debt. So it wasn't until the debt was completely paid, when God was made whole, that he could give us a new spirit. That he could re-spirit us. We had to be on a whole sitting with him, where we could be made whole because that debt was paid. So God did not forgive the debt. He sent himself through his son to pay it. And when we start seeing how completely that debt was paid once and for all, we can then start to live as spirit beings. That we're no longer seeing ourselves as sinners struggling to live a certain way that pleases God. But recognizing that God was the only one who could restore that relationship, and he did it 2,000 years ago. And he did it. It's done. We can now experience a full change, become a spirit being, and now learn to live as saints because we now have a new nature. One that is spirit, a spiritual nature that has the same characteristics as God himself. So we no longer have to struggle to meet any standards, because in our spirit, those standards have already been met. And for those of us who know God and God has revealed himself, we can let go of the pressure of trying to make, force our behavior to line up. Because God is already satisfied with our behavior, with our being, our nature, and our behavior will line up over time. But our struggle is no longer with trying to achieve relationship. But our challenge is now to accept a fullness of relationship. So when we talk about the age of transition on a larger scale, for our purposes, we refer to that particular transition time as a separate age. And that's simply since, because the events on either end are so significant. Now, this was the age of transition was really small. But it's so important to understand what happened. On one end of this age is the beginning. The beginning was the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. At that crucifixion, the full debt of the law was paid. When he hung on that cross, he paid the debt. The Father didn't forgive it. It was a real debt, and it had to be paid in reality. But Jesus paid it. The bill has been stamped paid in full. It's now filed away. It's done. Jesus' sinless death was the full recompense necessary to conclude the period of being judged by the law. The temple veil, the boundary separating God from man, was torn in two. One day, God's people were sacrificing animals in the temple, and it was acceptable to God as atonement, temporary, for their sin. But the very next day, the day of the resurrection, the sacrifice was no longer acceptable or sufficient as atonement for sin. That leads us to the age of grace. The age of grace started at the resurrection, but mankind was still not ready for it. We're creatures of habit, and we will continue bad habits as long as they work. As great and awesome and wonderful as the crucifixion was, it only concluded God's purpose for that time period, the time of law. It didn't start something new. And we needed something new. We needed a new way to relate to God. We needed those new wineskins. And it wasn't until the resurrection that the tree of life was made available again to any who were without sin. All sins were paid for at the crucifixion, even those that had not yet been committed. It was a matter of awareness. It was this tree of life, Jesus, which changed the very nature of man, making him a new creature, not a renewed one, a new one. So the more we begin to understand how significant and that now how free we are, that we no longer have to struggle to please God. We don't need to ask for eternal life. You already have it. You already have all the eternal life you're ever going to get. God is already permanently well pleased with you. He's not at all concerned about how you're doing, because in your spirit, you're already one with him. Every single box has been checked on every list he's ever had. Every test you've already passed. He's already fully well pleased with you. So why are we here? So that our soul, our mind, will, and emotions can be freed from the habits of living in sin as a sinful creature. And it is through that process that we learn to live as spirit beings. So our goal is to learn to depend on God rather than our own soul, our own strengths, our own, and to hide our own weaknesses. So when we say grace is accepting unconditionally what God gives us unconditionally, when God really starts to make that real to us, there is a simplicity of relationship that starts to heal those wounds and restore that soulical relationship as well as a spirit relationship. But this is where there's an overlap of law and grace. And this is where we're living now. The remnants of law. And this is where we are to, you know, we judge our behavior to determine how we're doing. And that concept, that mentality, that soulical outlook still dominates our beings, in our soul and in our body. And even born-again believers, spirit beings, struggle to live and move and walk according to their new nature as spirit, according to dependence on God. We often insist on using the old rules. We turn to the law to see how we're doing, to see how others are doing, to see how God is doing. You know, how often do we try to corner God? If I do this, this, and this, God is then obligated to bless me or to look after my concerns. And that's the way it used to be. Law says that you earn something from God. But that's not what God says. That's not where we're at now. So we think that there's still something we have to do. And for many of us, there's something we still want to do. We still want to control an aspect of our relationship with God that if we do thus and so, we have somehow earned God's involvement in our lives. But God's involvement in our lives is on his terms. So it's important that we understand that when Jesus said, "It is finished," he meant it. Time was up. And more importantly, when the Father raised him from the dead, and we'll see if we can finish this with a little cough I have. We were raised with him completely, partway. Just as Jesus paused to dwell on earth for 40 days before ascending to his Father, so too we, you and I, are pilgrims and ambassadors and here temporarily, passing through our remaining time here on this earth on our way to be with our Father to do whatever's next. Now, one thing about the law was given for a purpose. And it's perfect. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the concept of law or the gift of the law that God gave. It's our problem is we misunderstand what that purpose is. We think the purpose of the law is to show where we're behaving wrong so that we can change our behavior and please God. But that's not the purpose of the law. The purpose of the law is to show that regardless of how hard we try to change our behavior, it does not change our being. It does not change our nature from sinner to saint, that only God himself could do that. So when we see that God, that the law is doing exactly what it was meant to do, we can thank God for it, but understand it's done. When it's done its job, it's done. So God changed us from being under the law to now being spirit beings. Romans, where Paul was talking about that we are not under the law, but under grace. We can't be both under law and under grace. And this is why there's that transition and that overlap, where our soul is still thinking, is still trying to function as a law-based mentality, a law-based being, but our spirit is now fully on board and fully engaged and fully eternally spirit and living according to grace, accepting unconditionally what God gave unconditionally. So we have this double nature fighting within us. Now, our spirit is a new nature, but our soul is trying to maintain its old mindset. We can't be both. And this is what we're here for, is to bring that, to release that law mentality, that law habit, the law mindset. God releases us from it so that we can become a spirit being with our soul and our body perfectly aligned. Since the law has done its part, we shouldn't try to bring it with us. We can think of the law like a crossing guard, protecting us and guiding us in the right path. But once we are on the other side of the street, we continue on to our next destination, motivated now by our new nature, our new goal, our new being, rather than trying to follow an outward direction or instruction. And the crossing guard is simply left behind to continue his job. We don't get rid of the crossing guard because that street needs a crossing guard. But once we're across, we don't go back. We continue on. Now, here's something to think on. Jesus, the Son of God, was not sent to earth to die for our sins. He was not sent to earth. That was not his purpose, to die for our sins. He was sent to do a new thing, give us life, bring us into relationship with the Father. In order to do that, he had to die for our sins. So his crucifixion was the means. The resurrection was the end. That was always the goal, to restore relationship between us and Father. You can't put new wine into an old wineskin. We had to start over. And in order to do that, the law had to be completed, fulfilled, and date stamped. And that's what Jesus did. And he did it once. Under the law, a behavior-based relationship with God, sacrifice had to be done over and over and over again. For you and I, it's being born again once. We become a spirit being, and then that's it. We're in that transition period where our soul is still struggling with being a law-based, having a law-based mindset, but our spirit has accepted grace, has accepted life unconditionally. So what's the next stage? We could say that what God is preparing us for is to be walking in total dependence on him for our very life itself, for all our needs, desires, wants, dreams, goals, visions, anything, to be fulfilled directly by him. We've not had an example of what this would look like, especially in this day and age. Now, there was one example, and that was Jesus. Jesus was so dependent on his Father to be life to him and through him. His Father could revolve the entire universe around his Son. The Father sent his Son. He trained his Son. He taught his Son. He crucified his Son. He lowered his Son. He resurrected his Son and is even now glorifying his Son, all with the perfect cooperation, dependence, and enjoyment of his Son. But this was all the Father living his life through him. Jesus was fully engaged in everything his Father was doing. So the last thing we would ever say was that Jesus was passive, and yet his activity was all about being fully engaged and cooperating with his Father. He said, "I do what I see my Father doing. I say what my Father is saying." And that's what it will look like for us, is we and our Father will be one. When people see us, they will see the Father. Now, we've got a ways to go, but God's got his timetable, and we can enjoy the process. So thanks for hanging in there with me. We'll be getting back together again the same time next week. If you got any questions, feel free to drop me a line at diane@theraidersclub.org. Until then, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, have a great holiday weekend, time off season. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great night.